the net at heartlandenginebuilders.com, heartlandenginebuilders.com, or call Jim at 888-843-2786, 888-8-HEART-6. You know your special car needs, deserves, and craves a new engine. Heartland Engine Builders, from mild to wild, from pace to race, we make dreams affordable.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you. And here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And hopefully we're going to have our guest, Eric Peterson. Mr. Peterson, are you here?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so very much for having me. And Mr. Peterson has written a book called The Light and Liberty. And why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself? We haven't had a chance to talk to you personally. We talked to you, we tried to call a number of times this morning, but your telephone's even busier than mine is. So, but you've written a fascinating book on one of the most fascinating and challenging people of all time, and that is Thomas Jefferson, certainly one of the prominent founding fathers of our nation. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you happened to become so involved with Thomas Jefferson?
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm a practicing attorney in New York. I work for a New York law firm. We work on public works contracts for state and local governments around the country, the level of government that Thomas Jefferson was most thought was most important in our country, state and local governments. And I took an interest in Thomas Jefferson some years ago because I feel that Thomas Jefferson's vision is truly at the heart of what we love about our country. And I think it's the one thing that people around the world admire about America. And I wanted to take the opportunity, if I could, to bring Thomas Jefferson's vision back into the American sky, if you will, have people truly appreciate what he was trying to offer our country in these troubled times.
All right, fine. Well, what was Thomas Jefferson's vision for the world? Certainly, he was very unconventional for his time, and perhaps even unconventional for modern times. But he certainly seemed to value liberty. He seemed to fear government. He seemed to fear religious excess and religion being used to control people, because I think he honestly believed that that the structured church at that time, whether it be the Catholic Church or the Episcopalian Church or any of the other churches, many times the structure of the churches tended to control people rather than, of course, their personal relationship with God. So pick up the story there.
Well, that's a very good summary of Thomas Jefferson's view and his contribution. I selected Light and Liberty as the title for this collection of Thomas Jefferson's writings because it really struck me after reading through his 20,000 letters and immersing myself in his thought and his philosophy. But that was really at the heart of his message. He often wrote, as he said, that light and liberty go together. No light, no liberty. And it was very important to Jefferson that that second half of the equation be recognized. By liberty, Thomas Jefferson meant freedom from coercion in any form. And by light, Thomas Jefferson meant freedom from ignorance. And so he said, basically, freedom from coercion and freedom from ignorance go together. If you have an ignorant society, you can't really establish representative republican self-government that will assure the liberties that we all cherish.
I remember that. Go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say that Thomas Jefferson's vision really can be summarized as a vision of freedom and oneness, as you might put it, identification with your fellow man, a sense of egalitarianism in our society, all of which was necessary to promote the pursuit of happiness on a substantial, abiding, personal basis, the philosophy with which he is so closely identified through his expression of that in the Declaration of Independence.
And yet, of course, I have a feeling that he really believed that men had to, have at least some religious foundation, or else they would be lost. Didn't he believe that at least they needed some foundation?
Yeah.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Improve your home's comfort and beauty. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance and may also help reduce your energy costs. Call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. Improving your home has never been easier. Call Sears at 1-800-393-8378. Update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new in about 4 to 6 days without the cost or mess of totally remodeling. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call and save $500 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. Call Sears now, 1-800-300-8069.
Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon is Eric Peterson. We're talking about Thomas Jefferson and his vision. And so you pick up the story there. And certainly, what was Thomas Jefferson's attitude towards religion and organized religion and God?
Yes, that's a very interesting story because faith is a subject that people don't ordinarily associate with Thomas Jefferson. He wrote things like, "It does me no injury if my neighbor believes there are 20 gods or no god. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg." And he said that history furnishes no example of a priest-ridden people maintaining a free and civil government.
And of course, he was very much concerned about the influence of the Catholic Church in that time because of its autocratic history throughout Europe and the fact that really the Church had been used to validate the monarchies, and the monarchies were used to validate the Church, and no dissent was allowed.
Very well said. He called that a a system of kings, priests, and nobles. That was his favorite phrase. And he was concerned about the joining of the power, as you just said, of organized religion and civil government. And when you combine that with the power of large moneyed interests, such as in those days feudal landlords in Europe, you had the worst possible conditions for oppressions. He said all of those institutions of society tended to ally themselves with each other, oppress the people in furtherance of their own abuses of power. And so he was very much for the wall of separation, as he famously put it, between church and state. But as I read through his 20,000 letters, I was struck by what a man of what a person of deep spiritual faith, you might say, on a personal or private basis, Thomas Jefferson really was. It was clear that he believed in a creator. I like best the way he put his vision in one of the early drafts of the Declaration of Independence. He said, "We hold these truths to be sacred," meaning divine and inspiration, "and undeniable, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with inherent and inalienable rights." Now, there's a man who believes that a creative divine force has given man his rights through the hand of nature, as he put it. He often made references to a creator, a supreme being, in his public writings, wholly separate and apart from any discussion of religion. It was just a simple love of God, you might say, that inspired Thomas Jefferson. He, at one point in his famous Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, he said that Almighty God hath created the mind free and manifested his supreme will, that free it shall remain, by making it altogether insusceptible of restraint. And so there you see a deep belief in nature, the hand of nature, the God of nature, as he often put it, the creator giving us our lives, our freedoms, and our rights to pursue happiness in an abiding, deeply soulful, almost spiritual way, was the way he looked at things.
Well, now, of course, my impression is that his attitudes changed during his lifetime, and as he grew older, he was certainly more prone, at least, to accept the teachings of Christianity as really very, very important. You know, he even talks in some of his letters, at least some of the writings that I have, you know, at one time he was intrigued by the mysteries and things of that sort and spiritualism, but he seems to have sort of turned away from that and said, "I can't figure it out, and so I'm just going to accept," I think he used the term, "put my head on the soft pillow which Christ has provided for us."
Yes, that's very, very accurate. He said that I am a Christian in the only sense he, meaning the Christ, ever intended anyone to be, sincerely attached to his moral teachings above all others. He thought that Christ was the greatest moral teacher the world had ever seen.
But, of course, he did not believe in his divinity, and he emphasized that, you know, he did not believe in, you know, that he was anything more than a great teacher. In other words, he almost seemed to ignore the fact that in the book of John, why Christ is quoted as actually proclaiming his divinity. So here seems to be sort of a break with traditional Christendom.
Definitely, but I think it's somewhat subtle, because my feeling is that he believed that the teachings, the moral teachings of Christ, the promotion of the virtues to which we all, you know, aspire as sincere people, I feel that he felt that the teachings, the inner inspiration, if you will, the light of Jesus, was divinely given or divinely inspired. And so there's some subtle distinctions there, but he certainly felt there was divinity or a very high level of light, you might say, in Jesus and his teachings that he thought everyone would be wise to follow. Thomas Jefferson was very much a believer in each individual's inner light, inner conscience. He said that our conscience is the only sure clue which will guide us free and clear of all doubts and inconsistencies. And he called our conscience our faithful inner monitor.
Well, what happened between Jefferson and Adams? I know at one time they were very much at outs, and then, you know, as they grew older, they became very good friends. And was this difference between them related to Jefferson's religious beliefs, or what was the barrier? And then what brought them together towards the end?
Well, that's a great story, because they were friends in their youth. John Adams was about 10 or 15 years older than Thomas Jefferson. John Adams was the one who was instrumental in identifying Thomas Jefferson as the person to write the Declaration of Independence in the Continental Congress in 1776. And they worked together in Congress. They worked together in Europe, where they were both ministers to European countries. They had a falling out in the 1790s because John Adams was affiliated with a key member of the Federalist Party, you'll recall, which was in power at the time. And Thomas Jefferson thought that the Federalist Party was the party of the elites. They didn't trust the common man. They didn't believe in the egalitarian principles, as Thomas Jefferson would say, of the Declaration of Independence. And Thomas Jefferson said, one side fears most the ignorance of the people. That was the Federalists, who didn't trust the people and believed in the wisdom of the established elites, if you will. He said, the other side fears most, his party fears most, the selfishness of rulers independent of the people. And, of course, John Adams signed the infamous Sedition Act, which made it a crime to express your opinion critical of the federal government and its policies. Thomas Jefferson thought that was directly contrary to the principles of free speech embedded in the Constitution. So they really did have a falling out over substantive policy issues about the direction of the federal government and whether or not you really could have an egalitarian society.
Well, of course, this is the same thing that goes on today, isn't it?
There's a lot of echoes to that time. As I study Jefferson's life more, I realized that the controversies of the 1790s, in which he was so intimately involved, really have very many parallels to our times. The Federalist Party included not only John Adams, but also Alexander Hamilton, who was the power behind the scenes, if you will. He was the leader of the Federalist Party, very much intent on following what Jefferson saw as the British model, which was a model of some limited representative government, but through the elites, maybe only 5% of the people voted in England at the time, the moneyed classes. They perpetuated themselves in power. The common people were not very actively involved in politics at all. And they were constantly drawn into Britain's wars of imperialism and vanity. And Alexander Hamilton and John Adams particularly professed great admiration for that model of an elitist, mercantilist kind of government. And the egalitarian promise of the revolution, which Jefferson championed so much, was really threatened. And so Thomas Jefferson fought back. You recall the well-known Virginia and Kentucky resolutions which condemned the Sedition Act as unconstitutional. And he organized a tactically brilliant campaign. And he and his fellow Republicans were swept into office. And they really orchestrated a period of peace and prosperity, reconciliation. I believe Thomas Jefferson established in reality the principle of free speech in our country, because he had the opportunity to extend the Sedition Act and put all the Federalist newspaper editors in jail, as they had jailed 10 editors from Thomas Jefferson's Republican Party. Instead, he let the Sedition Act expire without renewing it, and thereby established the principle of peaceful successions of government and the principle of free speech in our great country.
Well, then, what brought Jefferson and Adams back together again? Because here were two of the giants of our country, and certainly at one time they were at odds over this, a difference between this egalitarian concept of individual freedom and then the elitist concept that the Federalists represented. So what brought them together again?
Well, they knew in their later years of their life that they were two of the remaining giants from the founding patriot generation of our country, and they wanted to try to bring to closure their animosities. They had both served as president. They were both retired. And they entered into a long and glorious correspondence, which lasted some 15 years, once it resumed around 1811. They both died together, by the way, on the same day, July 4th, 1826. They died on the exact same day, and that day was 50 years to the day after Congress had approved the Declaration of American Independence. And so they knew themselves to be giants. They knew themselves to be sort of setting the record straight. And they let go of their old battles. And they engaged in this wonderful correspondence. And much of the material in this book, Light and Liberty, is in fact drawn from the correspondence of Adams and Jefferson. Just to take an example, Jefferson was very much opposed to fear and appeals to fear. He thought that was the lowest form of ignorance, that if you appeal to someone's insecurity, you can never achieve anything constructive. And you know, I think if we all reflect on our own lives, every time, at least I know myself, when I've ever acted out of insecurity or fear, that motivating factor has always produced a result that I was not necessarily happy with. Jefferson called that kind of thing ignorance, and he said that in order to attain tranquility, we must avoid fear and desire, which he called the two principal diseases of the mind. And that's a phrase taken out of his correspondence with John Adams.
Well, I think it's a fascinating story, and two brilliant people in that. And, was Adams a Calvinist, you know, or did he subscribe to the Calvinist concepts?
He came from that New England Calvinist Puritan tradition.
Hold on, we'll be right back.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteef exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is unavailable. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438. Hello, friends. Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean, real hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calvin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calvin Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calvin Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calvin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calvinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at at the Genesis, and of our guest this afternoon is Eric Peterson. We're talking about certainly the relationship between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, but primarily the book Light and Liberty is about Thomas Jefferson and his philosophy. What have you learned after reading the 20,000 letters that Thomas Jefferson wrote?
Well, I tuned in most clearly to Thomas Jefferson's philosophy of happiness. You know, it's his phrase, of course, that we have a God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness given to us by the hand of nature. And I was intrigued by his philosophy of happiness because it really runs throughout all of his writings. He really thought that, as he put it, the giver of life gave it for happiness and not for wretchedness. And he wasn't talking about just Americans, obviously, but all people around the world. And he said he embraced, and this is the way he summarized the ancient Greek wisdom on happiness, which says that happiness is the aim of life, of course. Virtue is the foundation of happiness, and utility is the test of virtue. So he believed that in order for something to be virtuous, or held up to our high standards as personal or national standards, it has to actually work as a practical matter to produce happiness. And so I decided that I wanted to distill out from his vast writings what he had to say on the subject of virtues and good qualities and our national ideals and our high personal standards to try to pursue and aspire to a life of abiding happiness. He didn't mean by happiness, of course, fleeting, momentary pleasures. He meant abiding, lasting, real, meaningful, satisfying happiness that we all kind of inwardly hunger for. He thought government, as he said, had only two legitimate objects, the equal rights of man and the happiness of every individual. And so I wanted to distill out what he thought were virtues and good qualities that we all should aspire toward. This Light and Liberty book that we've been discussing is not a biography of Thomas Jefferson. There are many good biographies out there. Instead, my publisher, Randabouse, called the book that Thomas Jefferson never wrote, although every word is his. It's pure Jefferson, and it's material drawn from his writings organized under 34 virtues and good qualities, because that's where he thought personal and national happiness should actually be pursued, by self-betterment and by national betterment.
And, of course, he really believed in this dream of a nation where men could truly be free, where certainly the power of the government was to be limited over the lives of the people, which was a unique idea because always elsewhere you'd had a ruling elite. You'd had your feudal lords. You'd had, certainly your kings or your emperors or your pharaohs. It didn't really matter. There was always a ruler over men. And I think what was so interesting is down throughout history, there was always a religious justification for this tyrannical rule. And whether it was the priests or the pharaohs or philosophers, it didn't really matter. There was always the wise men, call them what you will. There was always this relationship of religion and government. And he wanted to break that, didn't he? He wanted people to be able to be free and then to pick the religion of their choice and worship as they saw fit.
That was at the heart of Jefferson's philosophy of light and liberty. And he wanted to establish it in a very practical way because he always saw, as you said, that there was this alliance of kings, priests, and nobles. And so his idea was that you would take power and you would smash it and you would fracture it into as many shards as you can and then scatter them as widely as possible. And that's why he believed very strong in our federal system of government, very limited power at the central government level, more at the state and most at the local level. He said you place under every man what his own eye and hand may personally superintend. And at one point he was asked, why do you believe so strongly in that? And he said, oh, I do not agree that 14 out of 15 people are rogues. In other words, he believed in basic goodness of the average citizen. But he said, I do believe that rogues would be uppermost. And if they ever were successful in getting power, getting control of the central government, you had to fracture, scatter, check, and balance their power as much as possible in order to prevent their tendency toward roguish behavior. And part of that smashing and fracturing power, obviously, was keeping the whole world of organized religion separate from the world of civil government.
And, of course, he really feared the banks. You know, it was very interesting. I have a book called The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. You may or may not be aware of it, but it was put out actually by the Bar of New York back in 1907, one of my favorite books. And he recognized within the banking system of that era a means by which the American people could be impoverished.
Well, I would think we would put the banking system in the category of nobles, talking about the kings, priests, and nobles. They were just another version of the moneyed, privileged classes, no different really than the feudal landlords of Europe in his age, and perhaps no different than large corporate interests today.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following 2 free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU and ask for George.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Eric Peterson, who's an attorney who's read extensively of Thomas Jefferson's writings. And would you like to get out your telephone number, website, or where people can get your book, Eric?
Yes, thank you, Stan. We have a website for the book. It's actually the name of the book, Light and Liberty, one word, .org. There's this interesting commentary on the book on that website, and it's also available through, you know, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and so forth, the major outlets.
And I think it's a very well-written book. And everybody, you have to understand Jefferson, and you have to understand what was going on at the time when our country was founded. And so much of what was going on there compared with today, it's like deja vu all over again. Before we, of course, went to the break, we were talking about Jefferson's really concern about the banking interests and how they were really, going to really disrupt the entire economy. And he wrote about, there's certainly, it's only only a matter of time before this whole fascination with paper money collapses and, of course, impoverishes the people. And it was just a few years after that when, of course, the first Bank of the United States ended. And, of course, the people lost so much. Everybody was indebted and there wasn't any money to pay off the debts and everybody lost out. It was almost as he was prophetic of what was going to happen, isn't it?
Yes, that was one of the areas where, you know, coercion, of course, liberty being freedom from coercion, was very much an issue for Thomas Jefferson. You know, he said at one point he was opposed to every form of tyranny over the mind of man. And there's all sorts of forms of tyranny, obviously, government over the individual, government over religion, as we've been discussing, religion over government, nation over nation. We should talk about that if we have an opportunity. And even generation over generation, he was very much opposed to what we would call today intergenerational tyranny, the running up of debt, saddling our children and grandchildren with debts. He very much believed that, you know, God has given us the right to live in the present. He very much believed in living in the present moment, and that prior generations do not have a moral right to saddle succeeding generations with laws that they can't change, debts that they can't pay, and so forth. And I think he'd be quite concerned about the run-up of debt that we've had in our country as being essentially a form of tyranny over succeeding generations.
Yes, I'm living very well on my grandchildren's inheritance.
There's certainly a lot of truth to that, and that was just another form of coercion that Thomas Jefferson swore that he was eternally opposed to. He said, "I have sworn eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man." He said that his motto was rebellion to tyrants. Is obedience to God.
Now, he had so many of those wonderful statements. One I loved the best was, in matters of politics, speak not to be of confidence in men, but rather bind them down to mischief with the chains of the Constitution. And certainly that is so apropos. I wish this was really being taught in our schools today. And I wish we'd put some chains on those people in Washington, D.C., because no man's life or property are safe when Congress is in session. I think Will Rogers said that, but he's absolutely right.
He was concerned about the centralization, tendency of rulers to aggrandize power onto themselves. And he said that the people are the only sure guardians of their liberties. And even they must be educated to a certain extent. That was his philosophy.
And, of course, he realized that if the people didn't get the truth, then there was no way for them to maintain their freedom.
Right. And Thomas Jefferson, one of the themes that I found central to his philosophy that we've kind of lost sight of today, I think, in our country, is the viewpoint, as he put it, that every man and every body of men is entitled to the right of self-government. It's a deceivingly simple concept. He's basically saying, I govern myself, you govern yourself. My nation governs itself, your nation governs itself. And so he's very much a believer in self-government. He said that if a nation expects to be both ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And part of the light that was necessary to overcome ignorance was developing in our society a spirit, as he put it, of reason, candor, moderation, tolerance, respect. These are his words, mild laws, readily obeyed. And then he said, valuing self-government above all other blessings. That's a very interesting comment, self-government. That applies to our national right to govern ourselves, but it also applies to other nations' rights to govern themselves. And he was against all forms of force, domination, interference, meddling in the affairs of other individuals or in the affairs of other countries. He thought that went fundamentally against the naturally given right of self-government and self-determination given to us by the hand of nature.
Well, of course, the only difference I would have with Thomas Jefferson is that I think that people really can't govern themselves without some sort of religious guidance. And, of course, I don't have to necessarily come from the church, but I think it has to come from God because, of course, William Penn had said so well, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. So if we're going to govern ourselves, we really need God's guidance because I don't think that we're going to do a very good job on our own. I know I wouldn't if it were left up to me to determine what's right and wrong, but we do have somebody who has laid out certain rules, and we don't abide by them. We're opening ourselves up to terrible, terrible problems. Now, one of the interesting things, of course, was Thomas Jefferson's relationship to Thomas Paine. I got a nasty email today. Of course, I get lots of nasty emails. I had 130 emails today I had to go through. But, you know, one of them was very upset because of some things I'd written about Thomas Paine. But Thomas Paine was really rejected by so many of the founding fathers after his book, of course, The Aids of Reason. And yet Thomas Jefferson was one of the few people who would, greet Thomas Paine after he returned from, working there to bring about the French Revolution. What was the relationship between Paine and Jefferson, and how did he defend his attitude towards Paine in contrast to that of all the other men who, even Benjamin Franklin certainly, rejected Paine's ideas, even though certainly Benjamin Franklin wasn't a Christian in any way. He suggested that Paine should burn that book, The Age of Reason.
Well, that's a very interesting topic, and you're right. Thomas Jefferson was a great admirer and supporter of Thomas Paine.
Right.
Thomas Paine was the one who wrote Common Sense,
right,
which at the beginning of 1776 swept the country, and it would be the equivalent of a 20 million book bestseller today, setting forth the basic ideas of how can an island, rule a continent, and it's time for the Americans to take up their arms, in defense of their liberties and in opposition to tyranny. So it was Thomas Paine that wrote that, and he inspired the country in the early 1776, and he was with George Washington at Washington's Crossing, New Jersey, near Trenton, near where I grew up, actually, in Pennsylvania. He wrote, "These are the times to try men's souls," when they were suffering there in December and about ready to undertake their historic Battle of Trenton that turned around the Revolutionary War. So he was right there as a philosopher of the Revolution, as an actual participant in it and helping people rally at the darkest hour once the arms had been taken up. And Thomas Jefferson, of course, was equally the philosopher of the Revolution. And he wrote a pamphlet himself, like Paine's Common Sense, even a year or two before, called A Summary View of the British of the Rights of British North America, in which he said, "The God who gave us liberty, gave us life, gave us liberty at the same time, the hand of force may destroy, but cannot disjoin them, cannot disjoin life and liberty." So they're very much on the same philosophical page. Both of them went to Europe and to France, where they thought that France would be the next site of the broadening revolution to secure the rights of man and representative self-government.
And, of course, Paine wrote a book on that subject, The Rights of Man.
He did. So Thomas Jefferson never ceased supporting Thomas Paine, even though the French Revolution, in which Jefferson was an observer there as the Minister of America to France, Paine was an active participant in trying to advance the cause of the rights of man there. A lot of people turned away from Paine as that revolution turned bloody and violent. But Thomas Jefferson never ceased supporting Paine for all that he stood for in defense of the rights of man.
Well, of course, but his The Age of Reason, his book, The Age of Reason, was really, and still is, an effort to destroy the basic structure of the Christian faith. That was the objection to it. And even though Paine, immediately after the American Revolution, was awarded a pension, and he was really pretty well off. I mean, he was acknowledged to have been one of the main inspirations for our Constitution after he published that book. And even Benjamin Franklin said, "Do not publish this book. Man needs to have some sort of religious foundation. This will do far more harm than good." But Paine, determined as he was, and wrote the book, and that was really what lost the support of most of the people, isn't it?
I think it is, along with what happened in the French Revolution. But that you're probably right. But Tom, that didn't bother Thomas Jefferson one whit. He really had faith that if you took away any kind of sense of coercion over people, whether it was political coercion or religious coercion or any other kind of coercion, we try to force a viewpoint on someone else, that the natural faith, the benevolent faith that he thought a supreme being had implanted in every person's heart would kind of come out, and their natural love of God would emerge. He didn't feel anybody needed to be actually instructed in religion, and instructed in faith, instructed in belief. That once you took away any aura of coercion and any teaching of false dogmas or systems of belief that were limited in their nature, or basically ignorance, superstitions, things like this, that he felt had been perpetuated in the name of, you might say, spirituality or faith by various religions over time. Once you took away all that dogmatic superstructure, each individual person could express the divine light or morality or conscience or belief in the way they saw fit in a supreme being. He thought it would naturally emerge. I mean, in this country today, I think the statistics are that 85% of our people believe in some form of a supreme being, which is an amazing statistic, because no one is really forced or coerced into any systematic, dogmatic belief of any kind of religion or a belief system that is the officially sanctioned system. A concept like Islamic law would drive Jefferson nuts because Islam is the world of religion and law is the world of civil government, and they should be separated. And he didn't see that to be any different from any religion or any civil government anywhere in the world. It was an axiom to him that you keep the two separate and you give everyone their freedom. And once you do, that's how people will be able to pursue the happiness and cultivate the God-given talents and positive spirit and community spirit that lies within all of our hearts.
Well, I wonder how he would feel about the morality of America today as we see what's going on in our schools and our education, and 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease. And, you know, we take away the religious restraints, and sometimes you end up with moral anarchy. But anyway, I think that it's so important to understand Jefferson, because he was instrumental in creating the foundation of this country. Nobody's perfect, but he was certainly one of the most brilliant writers and philosophers of that era. In fact, indeed, of all time.
He wrote what I see as poetic prose. He had a brilliant mind, but he also had a vast heart. And you might even say an illumining soul. Thomas Jefferson believed in the soul, the individual soul, as well as the souls of nations. He called the Declaration at one point the genuine effusion of the soul of our country at that time. And he clearly was a spiritual man, a man of deep, deep faith. At one point he wrote, "Faith and works will show their worth by their weight in the scales of eternal justice."
Oh, I love that.
Before God's tribunal.
Would you repeat that again?
This is one of my favorites as well. He said that faith and works will show their worth by their weight in the scales of eternal justice before God's tribunal. He really did believe in a here and a hereafter, and he felt that a life of service on earth, service to our fellow man, was important in the way things would work out for us over time. He said, "Nothing makes me more happy than to render any service in my power of whatever I'm capable of rendering." And so he felt that faith and works were key to a happy life.
Well, he certainly knew how to turn a phrase. I love his "God who gave us life, gave us liberty" quotation that is embedded there in the marble behind the Jefferson the statue of Jefferson there at the Jefferson Memorial, which is certainly the most beautiful of all the memorials and buildings there in Washington, D.C.
And it says as well that enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of day.
That's really one of my favorites. I got that one out of Barton's famous quotations, and I've used that many times. And really, to read quotations from great men, and I think probably, you know, this book has so many great quotations in it that you need to know and you need to read again, you need to memorize. And this idea that, you know, if you bring out this truth, why, you know, why the forces will disappear, the opposition will disappear, certainly a vampire at the first rays of dawn, I think. Was that the term he used, or what was it?
Yeah, his phrase was evil spirits.
Evil spirits.
Vanishing like evil spirits at the dawn of day.
Right.
So enlighten the people. In other words, take away the coercion. Their inner light will come forth. Cultivate education. Allow people's faith to express itself. And the darkness will evaporate. That
Amen.
Was he was a very optimistic person.
Well, I think, you know, one of the great tragedies of today is that our young people are not learning the truth about our country. They're not learning the truth about our founding fathers. They're not learning what our founding fathers believed, and that is you have to limit the power of government. That is what freedom is about, liberty, limited government, tyranny, total government. Our founding fathers wanted to limit the power of the federal government. Oh, where is that message today in Washington, D.C.? I don't think most of our congressmen even understand that the function of government is limited by the change of the Constitution, especially those people who, you know, benefit so richly by simply rewarding fat contracts to their friends. And nobody ever points out that these people are violating the very Constitution they've sworn to uphold.
Well, again, that's exactly right. There, you know, as I mentioned a few moments ago, to me, he said that if a nation expects to be both ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. And ignorance really means lack of education, lack of knowledge, lack of an awareness of the flow of history, the source of our rights, the sacrifices that our great patriots made. Why we have freedom, what's the purpose of our freedom, what are our principles as a nation, what are our principles of the rights of man embedded in the Bill of Rights, do we have a right to be aggressive against other peoples, all these basic principles that are at the heart of the wisdom of our America and at the heart of Thomas Jefferson's vision. We need to rediscover those, re-enlighten ourselves, and perhaps brighter days will return.
Well, I would like to get you onto some of our other programs. If you don't mind, I'd like to call you. I do 5 hours of talk radio a day to 4 different audiences, so I'd love to carry on the discussion. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Bye-bye.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Dry, cracked heels used to be a real problem for me, especially in the summer when I wear sandals. My husband would say, "Your heels are like sandpaper." But then my podiatrist gave me Calyx ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and smooths cracked heels and calluses using natural enzymes. Calyx never stings or burns and made my heels baby soft. Now they look and feel great. If you have calluses or dry, cracked heels, try Calyx ointment. You can find it at Walgreens and Long's in the foot care section.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid. It is private. It owes no one. It cannot go bankrupt. And it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Eric Peterson. I think Jefferson is one of the most brilliant people that we have ever had, and certainly we're indebted to him for his writing of the Declaration of Independence. Now, there are a few things about Jefferson. You have to put him into the context of that era when he was writing, and of course there were very powerful forces working in the world to bring about a world revolution. If you have not seen my video, World Revolution, which takes you back to the French Revolution and the other revolutions that followed, and yes, they were even influential here at the United States when we had our revolution, you need to get my video on World Revolution. You need to get the DVD or video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Because unless you understand the influence of the secret societies that were here at that time, you can't understand the foundation of America or why we are where we are today. Because those secret societies always intended to take control of the United States and use the military and financial power of our country to bring about a world totalitarian government. So certainly you need to get the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. My program, it's a VHS. We hope to have it in DVD soon, but we don't right now. It's called The World Revolution. You'll actually see an interview I did back in 1980. It's uncut with the American ambassador to Cuba. At the time, your government brought Fidel Castro to power, and we've kept him in power ever since then. But we can't tell the American public that, that we create enemies because they're very, very convenient to rally the people behind the government. If you do not believe that we're still working very closely with Fidel Castro, you need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs. We carry that. Not that expensive. I think it's $17.95. David Rockefeller's memoirs. So it's available. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, I do want to mention we are having our all-day conference. It's on the 29th of October, right here in beautiful Monterey Bay, overlooking the bay and across the bay, Carmel. But there's no nicer place I know to live or to visit than Santa Cruz, and we're going to be having the conference all day long. We're going to have Constance Cumby. We're going to have Chris Pinto, who did the Secret Mysteries, award-winning film, in fact, out of 1,000 documentaries were submitted to the New York Film Festival. This was number one. You need to understand what's going on, and you're going to have a chance to meet Chris and learn more. We're going to have other speakers. So you're going to have to call in and make a reservation because, of course, we're going to be serving lunch. It's going to be all day long. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's the Radio Liberty Conference, the 29th of October. It's a Sunday, but the only day we could get the conference room, and it's a great spot, and hope you can come. And then, of course, we want to mention we do carry the Berkey. Berkey products, and we also, if you would like to think about laying in a supply of food because place or other emergency supplies, we're going to be carrying them, and you'll be able to get them, order them through us, and they'll be regularly shipped to you. If you'd like to get a catalog, and you just ask for the emergency food catalog, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We're carrying the routine health products. My wife and I take the vitamins and minerals and herbs and other things that the various products, the CoQ10, which is really so important to maintain energy, and the large dose vitamin B12, things of that sort. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You ought to be on magnesium, you know. We're all magnesium deficient. You need the book, The Miracle of Magnesium. In fact, probably one of the best books we carry, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. We are under attack today. They're poisoning our children with fluoride. You call and get our material on fluoride. They're poisoning our children and destroying their minds with mercury. And they're doing the same thing to the elderly, and they know what they're doing.
They just don't want you to know. You need to get my material on planned population reduction, the DVD. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our provision and protection.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive.
Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to, they happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please, please do not call in unless we ask for calls, because we have with us today Mrs. Werthmann. And Mrs. Werthmann has worked for Eagle Forum for many, many years. She has served as a lobbyist in her state legislature, and she is very concerned about what's happening in America. She came from Austria, where she lived under both communism and then under the Nazis and then under communism. And to her, freedom is probably much more important than it is to the average individual. And she's been here since 1950 and seen the slow, very slow, but very progressive loss of freedom. So I'm going to let her tell her story, but I hope you'll listen to what she has to say and understand that freedom, once lost, it will never be regained. And in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden and his merry band of terrorists who want to take away our freedom, why we're giving up our freedom step by step by step right here in America, just as it's planned. Now, Mrs. Werthmann, thank you very much for being with us. Mrs. Werthmann, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
So you go right ahead and tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and why you work so very, very hard with the Eagle Forum to try to get the truth out.
Number one thing in America is freedom. Freedom cannot be bought by money. And freedom is not a right. I lived under Hitler's regime for 7 years, and after World War I, 3 years under Soviet communism rule. If I would tell you that Hitler moved into Austria with tanks and guns, I would certainly distort history. We elected Hitler by 98% of the vote by means of the ballot box. I'm sure you're shocked of hearing that, because you cannot find that in any of the history books I have checked out here. But I must take you back a little bit into history. In the 30s, in Austria, we had a very, very deep depression. We had one-third of our workforce unemployed. Inflation was about 25%, and if you borrowed money from the bank, you paid about 25% interest. So the depression was like nobody had any money. A lot of businesses went out of business. There was no work. And I remember distinctly that my mother was feeding about 30 people a day. We were cooking soup and baking bread, and about 30 people a day would knock on the door just to beg for food to keep themselves alive.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, this is Arthur Stan, and so we're talking to Mrs. Werthmann, who certainly has been working very, very hard for many years to try to preserve freedom in America, because, of course, she saw what it was like to live in both Austria, both under the Nazis and then under the communists. So she's telling how the Austrians actually voted 98% in favor of Adolf Hitler. They wanted stability, they wanted jobs, they wanted a better life, and he promised all of those things. So you pick up the story there.
We heard all the good things, and all the good things came first. Hitler promised us that within 3 weeks, everybody would have employment. He would take care of the families, he would help the families, the poor people, he would help the elderly, he would help everybody. Sure, the Red Cross came in and fed all the people, and everybody was getting something. The families were getting helped, it was a wonderful beginning. We had no way of knowing what else was going to come. So we got a new government. And with the new government, nobody was elected anymore. Everybody was appointed. From the city commission to the county commission and the school board and the legislatures and the governors. They were all appointed. And we thought, well, since everything worked so well in Germany, they know how to govern and they know how to appoint good people to make a good new government. And we all believed them. So we had regionalism. Hitler was a very clever geopolitical politician. He was very, very clever. So Austria had 7 states. He merged the 7 states into 4 states. Well, he said it was easier to govern. Well, we thought, well, it's a good idea. But you know what? As a lobbyist, I found in South Dakota twice we had bills by legislators who wanted to merge our 66 counties into 15 counties.
In other words, using the same basic techniques that Adolf Hitler used in Austria.
Centralization, and that's power grabs.
And, of course, what really is, there's a move here in the United States to do away with representative government and have everything controlled by people who are appointed by the federal authority, because, after all, don't they know how to govern? People say it couldn't happen here, and I'd like to suggest, ladies and gentlemen, it is happening here. Go ahead.
It can happen here. And interesting enough, during the Reagan administration, I was appointed to the Civil Rights Commission, and all of a sudden I got a letter that I belonged to Region 8. I thought, what is Region 8? Well, I found out that actually, when I live here in South Dakota, I belong to Denver, Colorado. Interesting. And then I found out that the United States is divided into 10 regions. So the next thing what we got under Hitler was equal rights for women, the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, all the women were for it. They thought it was just great that women would have equal rights with men. It also had its downsides. You know, the teachers in Austria, female teachers, if you got married, you couldn't teach in the school anymore, because our men are very proud men. So when they got married, they did not want to have their wives working outside the home, because it looked like that a man couldn't support his family. So the female teachers invested in their education and time, and when they got married, they couldn't teach anymore. So certainly the teaching profession was very much for the Equal Rights Amendment, but also women got drafted just as well as the men when the war started. Well, along with the ERA, of course, we had the Full Employment Act. Under socialism, everybody works. Otherwise, you are a parasite. So what happened to the children? Well, the government immediately formed huge child care centers. You could bring your children at age 4 weeks. You could leave them there 24 hours, 7 days a week, as ever you wanted. And, of course, the daycare people, they were not like our babysitters or grandmotherly type. No, they were highly trained early childhood educators. So they could mold the children exactly how the state wanted them.
Because when we hear this thing, you know, here in the West Coast, they have a slogan. It's called Success by Six. And what they really want is to get the children into preschool, because preschool children really do better. And that, of course, is not what it's all about. They want to get the child in so they can begin to mold their minds and control the reality and discourage these ideas of loyalty to God, family, and country. That's what preschool education, government preschool, is really about.
Exactly. It's to wean them away from the parents,
right,
from family values. So that was the Equal Rights Amendment and the child care. The next thing we had then is health, education, and welfare. Health, Austria had a very, very good health care system. Our health care was privately insured. We had very good doctors. We had very good hospitals. All that was going to change. The government took over health care. The doctors could no more practice free enterprise medicine. They were actually hired by the hospitals and salaried by the hospitals, and you could not pick your doctor. Since health care was being nationalized, you got a number, and if that on the doctors had a number, and if your number matched with the doctors, that was your doctor. Whether you liked him or not, that was your doctor. And of course, since health care was free, the people were going in droves to the doctors. And I remember my brother-in-law was a medical doctor. When he got to his office at 8 o'clock in the morning, he had about 40 people there waiting. Needless to say, the patients were taken care in a fast sort of matter, like a conveyor belt. And if you needed elective surgery for hemorrhoids or whatever, you couldn't get a hospital bed for a year or so, because the hypochondriacs were keeping the hospital beds full. Education was also nationalized. Since education were being nationalized, of course, the government called all the textbooks and everything. Everything changed. Before Hitler, I went to public school. We prayed before we started our class, and we prayed after class, after the day. And we had a crucifix in our classroom. The morning I walked in, that was March 13, 1938, the crucifix in the classroom was gone. And left and right was the Nazi flag, and in the middle was Hitler's picture. And the teacher said, "Today we don't pray anymore. We will sing Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, the national anthem. And we are not going to have religion classes anymore twice a week, Tuesday and Friday. We have physical education instead." Well, we did not mind that all that much, that we didn't have religion anymore, because we had to memorize long prayers, and it was very strict. Also, we were being told that on Sunday, that was National Youth Day, and we had to show up in the gymnasium at 8 o'clock in the morning. We could not go to church, and just in case our parents wouldn't send us, the first time they would get a stiff letter of warning. The second time, they would be fined about 300 marks. That would be equivalent today of $300. And the third time, our parents would be jailed. So we still respected our parents, and we dutifully attended those sessions. The first 2 hours, we had political education. So I thought, today I know it was political indoctrination. We were told that we should not listen to our parents, because they were old-fashioned fogies. They did not have the best interest in us. It was Hitler who had the best interest in us, because we were the future of the country and we should only listen to him. And what happened, they drove a wedge between us and the parents. We argued with our parents all the time. The rest of the day we had sports. We got all our equipment free, whatever we wanted, tennis rackets, golf clubs. And the boys, they would get motorcycles at age 16. Not only that, they were taken out to the airfield to fly gliders. Now, can you imagine how, when the day was over, we went home and told our parents gleefully what a wonderful time we had?
Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theUFOStore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the Internet.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
structure went up to 70%. We paid 70% income tax. Then we also had a planning agency. The planning agency was very tightly secured. Of course, when in 1939, when the war started, all the food was being rationed. And if you did not work outside of the home, you didn't get a ration card. And of course, the farmers, whatever they produced, they had to turn into the food bank. So the agents, the government agents, would go out on the farm and count their livestock, measured out the fields, how much they had to produce, regardless of weather. They even counted their chicken and ordered the chicken how many eggs they had to lay. Can you imagine that? And if the farmer did not turn in what the agent put down on paper, the farmer got penalized or even put in jail because he did not produce for the government. We also had a national police force, commonly known as the Gestapo, and they were everywhere. They were in civilian clothes. You had no idea who they were, but they were everywhere. And this is how it worked. As I was saying, all the food was being rationed. You could not even buy an egg or a loaf of bread without food stamps. Stamps for that you could buy, per month or per week your food. And if somebody died in your family, let's say grandma, we got 1 pound of sugar a month. So if grandma died, you quickly went to the grocery store and bought this pound of sugar. You were supposed to turn in the ration card to the food stamp place and not keep it. So the next day, the Gestapo would knock on your door. And it would say, we know that grandma died and that you kept the ration card and you bought the pound of sugar. Now, I'm not going to arrest you, but you have to inform on your employer, on your neighbor, your friends, whoever. And weekly you have to come to our office and bring us the information, how they are thinking politically. In our home, when we talked something political, we only whispered. We couldn't trust the mailman. We couldn't trust the electrician. We couldn't trust the plumber. We couldn't trust our neighbors. We couldn't trust our friends. That way, it created a network of informers. Everybody were informing to the Gestapo. We also had gun control because we were being told, everybody had weapons. We believed in carrying arms, but we were being told, that a lot of hunting accident happens and children were playing with guns. And when people cleaned their guns, they got accidentally hurt. And it was really terrible that all these accidents would happen with guns. So, and also we had criminals again. And in order to trace a criminal, you need the registration number of the gun. So the government called that we had to go to the police station and register our guns. We thought it was a good idea that they could catch the criminals, and that more safety, and for people would be more careful with their guns and all that. Well, 6 months later, they said, no, it didn't help. The best way is everybody should turn in their guns. Then there wouldn't be any criminals anymore, and then no more accidents. Well, they already know who had guns because we registered them. And also, there was capital punishment on them. And I didn't see any heroes. Everybody turned their guns in. So when I travel around the country and people say, well, how come you didn't stand up against Hitler? You didn't have a revolution. And I said, well, the only thing we had left to fight was broom handles. And you will never read in any history book that a revolution could be fought with broom handles. We didn't have any guns.
And of course, the same things are happening here. If you really think the people who want to take the guns away because they're concerned about children, you're sadly mistaken. They really want to enslave us.
Right. Well, we also had euthanasia.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Libertees. That's Libertees. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNLive.com to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Just a moment with Ms. Brittany. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Ms. Werthmann is telling about, she was taken to a small little valley up in the Alps, Austrian Alps, and there were a community of about 1,000 people, but there were about 10 people who were really mentally retarded, and they were all rounded up by the government, and the parents were told that they were going to be taken to an institution so they could learn to read and write and maybe learn a trade, and so all of these people were taken away in a van one morning. Is that right? You pick up the story
from
there.
That's correct. And about 6 months later, the letters came back from the health department that their son or daughter died a natural but merciful death. Well, in that village, the news traveled fast because everybody left in good health, in good condition, and why they all should die within 6 months. We couldn't believe it, but we know that they were being euthanized. So that was euthanasia. Then also, like I said, Hitler was very clever. He also nationalized the churches. Our churches are beautiful churches, beautiful cathedrals, very expensive for upkeep and restoration. So Hitler said, well, you know, the money what you give weekly, like we do here in America, is just not enough to keep the upkeep of those beautiful churches. We have to have a church tax. So when you pay your income tax, then you take 2% from that income tax, and that's the church tax. That's what you pay, and you have to pay it. It's the law. Now I believe it's 10%. It geared up, you know, from 2% to 10%. Well, that way he could control the ministers and the priests. They could not speak out from the pulpit, you know, to tell the people what was going on, because they would lose their funding. And that's why a lot of ministers and a lot of priests did not speak out or couldn't speak out.
And now, of course, now here in America, we have something called faith-based subsidies, and some of our largest ministries are taking millions of dollars from the federal government, but you know they won't speak out against the current administration, no matter what they do. After all, maybe the next year they won't get their millions of dollars. When the federal government begins to subsidize the churches, why, of course, it's the adage is as old as time, you know, he who pays the piper calls the
right
tune.
Correct. So, dictatorship did not happen overnight. If it would have happened overnight, we would have fought a bloody battle. I give you a scientific example. If you take a frog and you have a pot of boiling water on the stove and you dump the frog in there, he will jump out immediately. But if you put a pot of water, cold water, on the stove and you turn on the heat and you put the frog in the pot of water and keep slowly boiling him, the frog will sit in there and will not flex a muscle. That's what happened to us. We could not speak out because under dictatorship, like it didn't happen overnight, it slowly graduated up from 1938 until 1945. We had then a full-blown dictatorship. We could not even board a bus without getting permission from the government or a border train. Everything was controlled, ruled, and regulated. Under socialism, you are ruled and regulated, ruled and regulated. And the scientific example is exactly what happened to us. We were being boiled to death. We didn't know anything about concentration camps. That was a tightly, tightly guarded secret. Only a handful of the upper echelon from the government knew about it. We did not know about concentration camps until the Americans liberated us in 1945. So, we had also no way of finding out anything because the radio station was owned and operated by the government. They could tell us whatever they want to. The newspaper was censored before it hit the street. Nothing was being published, whatever was taking place. Everything was being censored. We had no conservative publications like we have in America to find out. We had nothing. We had nothing. The borders were being closed. Nobody could get out or nobody could come in. So we were sitting ducks. We didn't know anything what were happening. Now, I give you a story, by accident I came across. In 1985, I was in Geneva at the summit conference between President Reagan and Premier Gorbachev. A group of American women went over there, and I was one of them, to support President Reagan for the SDI, that was the missile what President Reagan was announcing. And all these women, the American women, supported President Reagan. But my other task was to infiltrate the peace movement. A huge amount of people from all over Europe and from America went over there to support Premier Gorbachev. And there was a peace march, and I marched with former or the late Congresswoman Bella Abzug and Jesse Jackson. And we marched from the English Garden to the Hotel Hilton, where they had a press conference. And as we walked in, the woman from Germany, she had a seat in the German parliament from the Green Party, and Bella Abzug, in fluent German, greeted her and said she had a big surprise for her. They were having a private meeting the next day with Premier Gorbachev. Since I could understand the language, I was very surprised that anyone could have a private meeting with Premier Gorbachev. And as I looked around the room, there were about 10 people around the room who did not participate in the peace march. So I walked up to one lady and I said, "I did not see you in marching with the rest of us." "Oh," she said, "we couldn't. We could not be seen publicly on the street." And I said, "Well, why not? Everybody else is here from all over." She said, "Well, Switzerland is very neutral, but we are from Germany, and we are all member of the German Communist Party." I said, "That's very interesting. That's very interesting for me to talk to you." I said, tell me, what is your goal that you are here in Geneva?" "Well," she said, "we are meeting with other people, like-minded people." So I said, what is your future goal? Can you tell me about?" And she said, "Well, since you are one of us, I can assure you that we are very, very serious about what we have in mind." And I said, "Well, what is number one?" "Well, right now," she said, "we want to take Nicaragua. Then we go into Honduras." What she meant by that was to infiltrate their communist philosophy. And then she said, "Then, of course, we go into Mexico." I said, "Mexico is such a poor country, such a corrupt country." I said, "Why would you go to Mexico?" And she said, "Well, that will be our future base." I said, "Future base? Why that? What is the object? What you are going to expect there?" She said, "Well, once we are in Mexico, we will call back the territory what the United States stole from us." I said, "Like what?" She said, "Well, Southern California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, part of Utah." Well, she said, "That's the the southwest part that used to belong to Mexico, and the United States stole that. And we are going to call that back. We are serious. Well, I said, you know, this sounds to me like a revolution. You have to have a lot of people. You cannot say, 1, 2, 3, we're going to do that. She said, oh, you Americans are so naive. She said, your churches are going to do the work for us. It hit me like a ton of bricks, the sanctuary movement. I know then, I read about in some of the church papers that some of the churches are bringing in illegal people, bringing them over the border and housing them and feeding them and then turn them over to the government for welfare and housing. So I said, when is this all going to take place? She said, well, that all depends who is your president. It can't be in 204, 206, 208. This was 1995. That was a long-range plan.
And of course, they know exactly what they're doing, and this is the incredible thing, and the average American hasn't any idea that this whole illegal immigrant movement is certainly is infiltrated by communists. They get a million people out demonstrating in our major cities without any difficulty at all, and if anybody thinks those are spontaneous demonstrations, they're incredibly naive.
Absolutely naive. Absolutely. And we know that Vincente Fox, can you imagine this man coming to the United States and rallying the Mexican people like he was a leader here or a part of the government? This is outrageous, outrageous, and them carrying the Mexican flag. And nobody is able to do anything about it.
Of course, anybody can go to the Eagles Forum, a major Eagle Forum website, and you will actually see the picture there of George Bush waving the American flag and telling the Mexicans that their land was stolen from them. So, you know, it's an amazing clip that Phyllis has on her website.
Yes.
Why would the Bush administration be encouraging this sort of thing?
I do not understand. I do not understand, but I do know that they want to integrate Mexico, America, and Canada.
Right.
And even build a highway and circumvent the Texas legislature and morph it into NAFTA and doing all this behind closed doors and pulling the wool over the American people. This is outrageous, but it all fits into the picture, building that superhighway. Why do you think the Supreme Court ruled on the eminent domain? This all fits into a picture.
Right.
Absolutely. You have to know history, and you have to know exactly how the cards are being played, and I am scared to death what is going to happen in the next 5 years. And, of course, after America, there is no place to run. And those of us who passed the Statue of Liberty, we came to a place of unbelievable freedom and unbelievable opportunity. America is the greatest country in the world if we can keep it.
And the question is, are there enough Americans who really value freedom? Certainly you value freedom because you've
yes.
lived without it. And yet I find so many people are just so complacent. Or they're so busy or they have so many things to do. And we ask them for help or for aid or for even moral support. And most of the people are just too busy having a good time to be concerned by the fact that we are losing our freedom rapidly here. Our children are being turned against their parents. Our educational system is aimed not at education, but indoctrination and dumbing down our students. And so many of the things that you've described that happened in Austria under Adolf Hitler are happening right here in America today. And I'm sure you see that, don't you? Don't you?
Absolutely. It's a very clear picture to me. It's a parallel. Absolutely. history is coming back. All the way, socialism is the same all over the world. Rules and regulation, rules and regulation, like I said. And we take it 1, 2, 3, slowly, that people don't notice.
And, of course, they take away our property rights in the name of the environment or the endangered species or,
yes,
or the water or the fishes. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's all a scam. They know exactly what they're doing, but they figure that most people will obey the laws, even though these laws are unconstitutional. And then, of course, you go to the Supreme Court, and often the Supreme Court has a political agenda, and there are people there who do not believe in the Constitution. They believe in an all-powerful federal government that can regulate every aspect of human endeavor.
Absolutely. I see a very, very clear picture. What I left behind is happening here. But it's so difficult to make the people see it.
Well, that's, of course, what we do here 5 hours a day on our radio program. And, of course, we're looking forward to getting you onto our other programs, because I think that you speak with a tremendous feeling and tremendous, depth, because you've actually seen it happening. It happened in Germany, it happened in Austria, and it always happened very, very slowly. And the people, the good people there, the German people are good people, the Austrian people are good people, but they couldn't believe that their leaders would really take away their freedom, that the churches and the church leaders and the ministers would betray them because, well, they wanted to get their stipend from the government like everybody else. Could it happen here? Ladies and gentlemen, it is happening here today. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
December 2005, CNN had a special documentary about the inevitability of nuclear terrorism on American soil. When the mainstream media is reporting on such a perilous topic with such candor, it should be taken very seriously. Currently for sale by owner, the ultimate secure home is strategically located in the awesome mountains of southwest Colorado. This patented steel-reinforced concrete earth home was built to withstand any natural or man-made disaster you can name, whether that be a forest fire, an earthquake, or even a full-scale nuclear attack. The house is completely off-grid with solar electricity and an independent water supply. It even has a hidden fallout shelter with NVC air filtration. Its many self-sufficient and high-security features will amaze you. With nuclear World War III looming ever closer on the horizon, this custom survival home is turnkey, ready for a new owner. For more information, visit www.ultimatesecurehome.com. That's www.ultimatesecurehome.com.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
address out one more time.
1604 Hilltop.
And this is, of course, where you can get some material from Mrs. Worthman. 1604 Hilltop Drive.
Go here, ahead. South Dakota. 57501.
Well, God bless you. Thank you so very much. And I will call you. I'd love to get you back on our other programs.
And you would send me the tape.
Oh, we will, certainly. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Mrs. Worthman today. And really, to understand what's going on today, let me suggest a book we carry. It's called Hitler's Cross. It's written by Erwin Lutzer, who's the senior pastor of the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. And he tells you how Hitler used the church in Germany, just as the church is being used in America today. Our major churches are getting regular calls from Washington, D.C., and they're on the inside talking to Karl Rove and other leaders and rallying them behind our program to increase the level of the warfare in the Middle East. And everything looks like we're going to be going to war with Iran soon. Only nobody's ever stopped and wondered, what are the implications of that? And once you get into a war, how do you get out of it? But our churches, and so many of our ministers, especially with the faith-based grants now, they're getting $1 million. Some of our major ministries are getting $1 million or $2 million a year. Isn't that nice? But do you hear them speaking out against the torture, the official policy of the United States, to support torture of people or to kidnap them and send them to other countries to be tortured? Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? And it's deafening in its silence. We have a 4-tape set on concentration camps in the United States. We have a concentration camp special, and the documentation that goes along with that. You need to call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Who is funding the communist infiltration of our government? Pardon me, I should say of our immigration. Our immigrants. Who is organizing the immigrants in this country? It is the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation has set up a number of organizations like La Raza, which means the race, and I believe it's Netza or Maldive, one of the two. They've funded these since 1968 organizations to support illegal immigration to the United States. Why would the Ford Foundation do that? Well, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to find about the occult foundation of the Ford Foundation, which is subsidized subversion in the United States for the better part of a century. They have subsidized communist organizations and socialist organizations. And if you have a Ford car, just remember what part of that profit goes to them. Well, you understand that the Ford Foundation is an enemy of America, and of course, it has always been headed by people who have a different world agenda. And one of the best books we have two books. One is called Importing Revolution, dealing specifically with the immigration movement, and of course, the Ford Foundation's funding of it. We have a DVD entitled The Conquest of Aztlan. We have a 4-tape set on immigration. And then we have a book, one of the most important books in my library, entitled Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and you'll certainly want to get a copy of that, because it goes into how the Rockefeller Foundation and Ford and Carnegie Foundation and many others have been financing subversion in America for over a century. Well, ladies and gentlemen, then the next thing I want to do is mention that the Radio Liberty is having our annual program, or certainly our annual is having our annual seminar. It's going to be on the 29th of October. And that's the 29th of October. It's a Sunday here in the Monterey Bay area. A beautiful place, and we hope that you can come. You're going to have a reservation. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, and certainly you should have something that where you can filter your water and get the pesticides and herbicides, and yes, even the fluoride out of your water. Why, we do carry health products, and give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction,
Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. Theufostore.com also offers the book Roswell.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. President Bush says Osama bin Laden's own words make clear why if America retreats from Iraq, it'll be condemned by history. Mark Smith is at the White House.
Speaking to a military officers group, the president said bin Laden's like Lenin and Hitler in proclaiming his evil intent. And history shows, like their words, his must not be ignored. In bin Laden's case, he's declared Iraq key to a new world war, which is why Bush says pulling out now would be wrong.
History